Amen. Thank you, choir. And if you have your Bible, you should be finding Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Today I'm preaching on this subject out of Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 through 28. Who let the dogs in? I'm preaching on who let the dogs in. And you'll find that title right here in our text today. And I hope you'll listen very, very carefully. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed unto the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast, and she cried unto him. In the Greek, that word cried means she came and cried over and over and over. She didn't cry one time, but she cried over and over, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." But he answered her not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." Back up one verse. Now, you're probably going to think I'm strange by what I say, but I hope you'll listen to me. I have, and I didn't plan to preach on this week, not even after I had the meetings I've had the last couple of weeks with some folks in need. One couple came to me, and their son was raised in a fine Christian school, raised in church all of his life. But somehow or another began to get on the internet and has gotten involved with Satanism. And I'm going to say to you what I said to the first crowd. If you're in the building and you're a parent and you've got the internet in your house, you better find out how to check on what sites your boys and girls are going to, because there's some garbage out there. And if you think Satanism is a game, you got your head in the sand, because just as true as there is a good power, there is an evil power. And the enemy is alive and well. But by the way, don't just check your children. Some of you need to check yourself out. Number one sin in America of Christian men is pornography. I promise you, in a crowd this size, I said this in the last crowd, I promise you, in a crowd this size, there are probably 100 men and women. Probably 100. I may be real conservative in that number. Who in some fashion, to some degree, have been visiting pornographic sites on the internet. And I want to tell you, you better listen to your pastor. Now, the devil don't like what I'm preaching today, so you pray for me. I want to tell you, you better make sure you don't get involved in that garbage, because you may be the saintliest person in this building. You may have been full of the Holy Ghost. You may be as faithful to God as you think you can be. But you start dabbling with that, and sooner or later it's going to grab you and get you, and you're going to get in trouble. So you better be aware of what's taking place. She cried out for her daughter. But he answered and said, Jesus did, "I'm not sent but into the lost house of Israel, lost sheep of the house of Israel." 25, verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, help me." James 5:16 says, "The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man or a righteous woman availeth much." In other words, there's power in prayer. And James says, you have not because you ask not, or you have not because you ask amiss. But Jesus answered and said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread, to cast it to the dogs." Now, the Jews consider Gentiles dogs. And lest I get it in here, the reason I entitled my sermon, "Who Let the Dogs In?" is Jesus allowed this woman who is a Gentile. She's already a believer. I believe that's proven by the text. She came into the kingdom of God just like the Jew did. And by the way, that's exactly how you and I get saved. We all go by the way of the cross. There's not a way of salvation for the Jew and the way of salvation for the Gentiles. There's one way of salvation for every man, woman, boy, and girl on the face of this earth, regardless of what language they speak, regardless of what land they live in. There's one way to heaven, and that's through the blood-stained banner of the cross of Jesus Christ. And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." Then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. In our text, we got a woman with a problem. She's got a daughter who is vexed with a devil. Now, the Bible doesn't say whose fault that it was. It doesn't say she's in this predicament because of what her mama did, or because of what her daddy did, or because of what she did, or because of what somebody else did. It doesn't say that she was out dabbling in the occult, which some are doing, and I want to warn our young people to stay far away from that. But the Bible said she's vexed with the devil. Now, it's really not important whose fault it is. Now, don't think I'm being easy there. David said, it's my sin. David said, I'm the one who transgressed. David admitted his fault. And by the way, you've got to admit your fault. Nobody can admit it for you. You've got to admit it for yourself. But you see, it really doesn't matter whose fault it is. Her daughter is in trouble. It's already taken place, and her daughter has a need. Somebody put it this way, if you find yourself broke and busted and disgusted, you don't need an investigator to find out why. If you're beaten and bruised and abused, you don't want to see a commission of inquiry to find out what the cause is. If you're depressed and dejected and rejected, it's not all important to probe the reasons behind it. You just need some help. Here's a mama and her little girl is really having difficulty, and she goes to the Lord and she said, Lord, I need help. Now picture this mama with me this morning. She gave birth to this little girl. She went through the pain of childbirth. She's cuddled her and clothed her and changed her. She's been there as a nurse and a mama. She watched her take her first step. She's her little girl. There's some daddy involved here. She watched her on the first day of school leave the car and go into the classroom as they both wept. Can you imagine this mama who saw her little girl grow up and now her little girl is in trouble? Mama's saying something like this, I'm losing my little girl. I'm losing my little boy. My little girl, my little boy is in trouble. By the way, it doesn't matter what age they get to, you still think of them as your little boy and your little girl. I'm losing my little boy, my little girl. Maybe you know what it's like to lose a boy or a girl or a husband or a wife or a family member or a friend. I read about a mother in Atlanta a couple of years ago. She was at Walmart and went to take her buggy to put it in the buggy rack. Before she put her buggy in the buggy rack, she placed her little child in the car seat. She walked just across the parking lot, put her buggy in the buggy rack, turned around, and somebody had already kidnapped her little girl. Can you imagine how that mama felt? Her little girl was gone. I want to tell you, by the multiplied thousands across America, little boys and little girls are being kidnapped literally, and it seems like that's on a rise. We need to pray. Amen. That's not right. Amen? And they need to pay the price for the wrongdoing they commit. Amen? But our boys and girls are being kidnapped by more than just literal kidnappers. They're being kidnapped by the enemy. Both lost boys and girls and saved boys and girls. Both lost men and women and saved men and women are being kidnapped, hoodwinked, blinded by the devil and falling into his trap. You see, church, if you're sick, you want to find yourself, I'm talking about physically, a good doctor. If you got a legal problem, you need to find a lawyer. If you got a family problem, you need to find the right counselor. Don't go to a counselor who doesn't know Jesus. I don't care how many degrees they got. You need biblical counseling. If you got trouble in school, you may need a tutor. But for the spiritual problems in life, and I want to say for all these other problems in life, you need to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, she may have been a Gentile, but she was a smart Gentile because when she had a problem, she took that problem to the Lord Jesus Christ. Could I tell you today what you ought to do with your problems? Take them to the throne of grace. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Mom and Daddy, are you praying? Husband and wife, are you praying? Church, are you praying? America, are you praying? If we don't pray, we won't see the miracle that happened to this lady from Canaan. But I'm here to tell you today, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still a miracle working God. He's saying, where are my people? Well, I could say a lot of things. Let me just get right into the message. I want to talk about, first of all, the agony of this woman in verse 22. I will back up and say one thing. I have talked with, ministered to a lot of people along the way. I could take this Bible and show you from Genesis to Revelation. People in the Scriptures whose God has used mightily, who raised their children in the fear and admonition of the Lord. I could tell you about folks who walked with God, been the most faithful you could ever imagine, and somehow, some way, their children still walked away from God. They don't need somebody pointing their finger at them and somebody lambasting them. What they need is somebody to put an arm around their shoulder and to pray with them. Their boy and girl would come back home. Amen? If we're not careful in the church, we turn into Pharisees. Now, I'm not being light on sin. You're going to understand that before the message is over with you. If you think that about me, you've had your head in the sand for a long time. I've been preaching here for 22 years. I've never been easy on sin, and I never will be easy on sin because sin nailed my Savior to the cross. But I want to tell you, just because we're not easy on sin, we better make sure we're heavy on grace. Because, buddy, everybody in this building needs grace. I need it every day of my life, and you do too, whether you recognize it or not. Without God's grace, I could absolutely do nothing. So a woman in agony. This woman's got a child problem. Her daughter is vexed with a demon. If you're a parent, there's no problem in the world like a child problem. Or I could say, if you're a child here today, there's no problem like a parent problem. No problem like a child problem. You might as well make up your mind, if you're going to have children, you're going to have some problems. Don't look far into me. I know what I'm talking about. If you're going to have children, you're going to have some problems. Sooner or later, there's going to be a problem somewhere along the way. Big, medium, size, or small. If you don't ever have any problem with your children, then don't ever have children. That's good advice. Hope you listen to me. Because sooner or later, you're going to have some difficulties in your life. And by the way, you know who the experts are on raising children? Folks who don't have any. And all of a sudden, they have one, two, or three, and all of the books they wrote on how to be an expert on child raising, they had to change it because life changed for them. And I tell you, the Bible says sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. And the devil is after our boys and girls. He's after our mamas and daddies. That's why he's got that garbage on the computer. Goes all the way from pornography to Satanism. And nobody, no disciple of Jesus Christ, neither you nor I, am strong enough to fight it off by ourselves. We need the power of the Lord God Almighty. Woman's in agony. The problem she had. It developed around her little girl. Mark seems to indicate she was a young girl. She was the apple of her mama's eye. My little girl. Here's a mama with a problem. The devil made a frontal attack on her daughter. He's trying to do that to every boy and girl in this church and every boy and girl outside this church. Just because you come to church, just because you go to youth camp, just because you go on a mission trip, doesn't mean the devil's going to let you alone. It means he's going to hide behind every bush he can and try to get you to walk away from God and make a laughing stock out of you. He wants to get you away. But let me insert this. If the devil has gotten you and pulled you away, it's time to say enough is enough and come back to the cross and confess your sin and plead the blood of Christ and from this day forward, walk with God. Every day of your life, cry out, God, I need you every day in my life. In America, our children are under attack like never before. Can I tell you, we live in a different day in America. It's different than it was when I grew up. It's different than it was when you grew up. We live in a different day in America. And if you agree with that, say amen. And if you don't agree with that, you've been sitting in the house too long. You don't know what's going on. It's different out there in this world. I pull up to get gas yesterday. I go inside to pay. And I see this guy, and he's different. And by the way, we all are different. Amen. And I praise God we're different. But he was different. Can I put it that way? He was different. He had black fingernail polish on his fingernails. I don't know about you. I grew up in City View. Where I grew up, guys didn't paint their fingernails. Amen? They didn't paint their fingernails. Now, I know what some of that stands for. I know what that stands for. It's occultic. I know what it stands for. It's a form of worshiping Satan to some degree. Now, whether he does or not, I'm not judging him, but it is a form of doing that. And man, he had rings in his ears and rings in his eyes and rings in his chin and rings in his nose. He had more rings than he had face. I'm going to tell you, they were everywhere. But listen to me. That boy needs Jesus as much as you and I sitting in this church this morning. Amen? What are you saying, preacher? I'm telling you it's a different day. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that the devil is fighting like never before because he wants our boys and girls. He wants you and he wants me. He wants to drag us down. And our only hope is Jesus Christ. It's not just more education, as good as that is. It's not more talent and more ability. What we need is more of Jesus Christ. And I won't back up one iota of what I said in the first service. We live in the day when churches are starting and people are saying we don't need Sunday night, we don't need Wednesday night, and our boys and girls are dying and going to hell. Our boys and girls are being attacked by the devil. And if we don't get more of Jesus in them and more of the Word of God in them, they don't have nothing to fight with. And brother, you're looking at one preacher that says you ought to be in church on a faithful, regular basis, and you ought to bring Throckmorton with you whether he wants to come or not. You say, he won't come. Whose house does he live in? You say, I can't make him come. Oh, yes, you can. Amen? Preacher, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know a time in history. The children have faced more problems than they do today. Somebody gave me, and I'm going to bring it to you because in black and white, somebody brought to me one of our universities. And one of the things, one of the classes that they're teaching up there, and I don't have it before me, so I don't want to tell exactly what it is, but it is so far out. It is so immoral. And it used to be a Baptist school that trained preachers to preach the gospel, and it's gone all the way from preparing preachers to preaching the gospel to teaching folks how to be perverts. Something is wrong in America, and we need to get back to God this morning. And it ought to start right here in this church. Amen? Now, I done stepped on some toes because I promise you there's some people in here dabbling with pornography. And buddy, if you don't get it right, you're going to get in trouble. You say, I can handle it. Big boy, I want to tell you, you can't handle it. It's bigger than you are, but it ain't bigger than God is. You got to bring it to the Lord. If you can't handle it, get it off. Get off the internet. Amen? You say, preacher, I go there and it just pulls me. Well, take the pull away. Amen? You got a problem with alcohol? Don't walk by the beer joint on the way to work. Amen? Well, if I had somebody help me. Anyway, boys and girls are taught evolution. If you believe in evolution, then you don't believe in the divine creator anyway. If you don't believe right about where you came from, you don't know where you're going. Well, I'll tell you where you're going. You're going to heaven or hell, one of the two. You came from God. You're going back to God. Listen, it's what you do with God that matters. What you do with His Son, the Lord Jesus. We're taught in our day evolution, values, clarification, relativism, atheism, pantheism, and meism. They're subjected to profanity, filthy music, drugs on every side. Can you believe the day in which we're living? I go to Sam's and I buy this stuff that you squirt out of the can to take the dust off the computers. You know what the kids are doing now? They're sniffing that stuff and getting high. And it's eating their brain cells away. When I passed in Florida, this has been 22 plus years ago. One of the families in my church had a boy, I never heard of sniffing glue. Putting glue in a bag and sniffing it, and it absolutely ate his brain up. I want to tell you what, boys and girls, you better stay away from all that stuff. The devil says it's okay. I'm telling you, it'll get you. There's been a time when God's people need to pray for boys and girls. It's today. The agony in this woman's heart. She's losing her daughter. You hear today and you say, preacher, you're preaching to me. I don't know where my little girl is. I don't know where my boy is. Preacher, I don't know where my husband is. I don't know where my wife is. You're on the verge of losing your child. I talked about a group that a lot of churches have in America called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers. They come together and they pray because preschoolers have particular needs and they share one with another how they're trying to meet those. I think that's wonderful for folks who have similar things to come and share together. They ought to get one that says MOTS, Mothers of Teenagers, amen? And then MOTS, Mothers of College Students, amen? Now, you college students sort of said amen to that. Don't sit there and look dumbfounded at me. Hey, I tell you, if you can get support from somebody, that's what the church is supposed to do, by the way. Listen, if you've been through something and somebody else is going through it, listen to me, don't you miss this. If you miss everything else I say, don't you miss this. God don't want you running your long tongue gossiping about anybody. Gossip, one of the worst sins you'll ever commit, by the way. Read the book of Proverbs. God hates it. If you've been through something and somebody else is going through it, you ought to put your arm around them and try to help them get through what they're going through and be victorious in the midst of it. They're already hurting bad enough. They don't need you beating up on them. That's why we got divorce scare, Brother Richard. It's just not saying, listen, folks are getting divorced. We're trying to offer a place where they can come and get the Word of God. And if you come to Richard and Jean's class, whether it's on Sunday morning or through divorce care, you're going to get the Word of God. You're going to get the love of God. And if you'll listen, you're going to get the Son of God. It'll change your life. The passion the woman had. She didn't come demanding. She came pleading. You don't come to Jesus saying, Lord, I deserve this, but you come pleading based on mercy. When you and I come to Christ, we don't come strutting to Christ and say, boy, he sure would be lucky to have me. That church sure would be fortunate if I was a member. No, you're blessed of God to be able to be a member here. Now, I want to tell you, somebody ought to shout it right there. I'm telling you, listen, hey, we're not a trophy case. We're a hospital for hurting people. And if we ever change that, then God will take His hand off this place. We're not strutting around saying about how good we are. We're strutting around saying how good Jesus is. You say, I didn't think we were supposed to strut. If you're strutting about grace, strut. You're strutting about mercy, strut. You point it all toward the Lamb of God. Passion. You say, I'm not sure I believe you ought to get excited in worship. You have passion everywhere else. Go on, Pastor. By the way, there are no perfect parents. Amen? You may think you are. I don't want to burst your bubble. There are no perfect parents. We learn by trial and error, and I'm afraid sometimes more error than we'd like to admit. There are no perfect children either. Just thought I'd throw that in. By the way, none of us are perfect. One day I'm going to be perfect. Did you know that? Now, I am perfect positionally this morning. I know that's deep, but I am perfect positionally. In Jesus Christ, I am absolutely perfect. You say, you don't see what I see, preacher. Well, you don't see what he sees either. Amen? I am perfect positionally, and one day I'm going to be perfect, literally, saved to sin no more. But down here, we wrestle all the time. We don't come to the Lord because we're perfect or because we do everything right. We come to get mercy. And the prayer this woman had, she did something we all need to do. She took her problem to Jesus. The first person you ought to tell about your problem is Jesus. And by the way, if you tell Jesus, you don't have to worry about Him telling anybody else. You can't make that promise about anybody else on the face of the earth. Your friend can tell you, I'll keep this in confidence. You have no guarantee they'll do that. I've learned a lot of people have big mouths. Best thing you do is tell it to Jesus. Just give it to Jesus. Tell Jesus about it. Second of all, real quick, the Master. What a fight for our families. This mama's fighting for her family. And I told some of you, and some of you weren't here, so I like telling it. I'll never forget that guy when my brother was doing something he ought not to be doing. And by the way, it wasn't Jack, so don't get on to Jack. It was one of our older brothers. He was doing something he ought not to have been doing. And a man about 6'4", weighed about 250 pounds, called my mama and said, when I get your boy, I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And my mama told him, said, you touch one hair on my boy's head and I'll wipe you up like a greasy spot out in the road. You say, did your mama say that? I thought she was spiritual. She was, but you don't mess with mama's children. Amen? You touch my boy, and you don't want to mess with a mama when you're bothering her children. Amen? Amen? The Master. Seems like Jesus answered her in a rude way. In fact, first of all, He didn't even talk to her. And then He seems to be calling her a dog. He's not trying to destroy her faith. He's trying to develop her faith. Don't let things you don't understand about Jesus shake the things you do understand about Jesus. Never judge God's hand apart from God's heart. Notice his silence. A woman comes begging. In verse 23, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried at him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. The disciples said, Send her away. Get her out of here. It's amazing how cold and callous we get. Rock Springs, listen to me. Sometimes if we're not careful, we're so busy in our activities, we're so busy in our spiritual calisthenics that we forget that God called us after we've been saved to go out and heal up the wounded, bind up the brokenhearted, reach out to those in need. And if we're not careful, we'll get so cold we forget about the lost and the wayward and the hurting. That's why God called us together to be a church. Amen? Not so we could try to impress anybody with anything, but to reach a lost and dying world. They tried to send her away. But Jesus was silent, and she cried out, Have mercy on me. She had heard about the Christ, and the Christ was the messianic term from the Jews. But Jesus said, You don't have to come on Jewish ground. You can come just like you are, just where you are. His silence is profound. You don't have to approach me on Jewish ground, he said. You don't have to become a Jew in order to get to me. You don't have to go through the Baptist door, the Methodist door, or the Presbyterian door, or the Pentecostal door. You got to go by the way of the cross. Doesn't matter what country you come from. Doesn't matter what denomination you're involved in. It's still Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Abraham got saved by faith. I got saved by faith. If you got saved, you got saved by faith. It all points to the cross. The statements of Jesus. Verse 24. He answered her not a word, verse 23, but he answered in verse 24 and said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now Jesus said there's a historical order here, Romans 1:16. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to everyone that believes. But I'll tell you what, it didn't stop the woman. Look at verse 25. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. She had a stubborn faith. She's like Jacob in Genesis 32. I won't let you go until you bless me. It's not as easy as some people think to get Jesus to solve your problem. Some people think Jesus is a heavenly bellboy. I'll just call him when I need him and live any old way I want to. You listen to your pastor now. You may think this is hard. I'm telling you, you don't treat Jesus that way. You better stay close to him because one day you're going to need him. It may not be today, but it may be tomorrow. You're going to need him. You're going to need to call on him right away. So you better stay close to the Lord Jesus Christ so when you call, he'll be listening. Now he's listening, but the Bible said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If you walk in with him, he'll show you errors in your life you haven't totally sold out to him. While you're wrestling with God, He'll put His finger on that spot in your life and that spot in your life, that spot of faithfulness, that spot of honoring Him, that spot of being what He wants you to be. He'll put His finger on it and you'll have to do something with it. Now, Jesus talks to her in verse 26. It's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now, the Jews considered all Gentiles dogs. But in the Greek here, the word dog is not what the Jews meant. In those days, the terminology meant an alley dog, a stray dog, one that just walks around anywhere it wants, a stray dog. But the Greek word here is the word puppy, a small dog, a house dog, if you please. He speaks with a facial expression and a tone in his voice of compassion. He said the children must be fed first. When Jesus said first, He cracked open a door in that woman's heart and she went rushing in and said, Lord, I know I'm a dog to everybody else. I know everybody else considers me a dog. And this woman says, you know, I'm not really concerned about that. But she said, even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. And I know a lot of you. I got a dog out in my backyard. He's not in my back room. He's in my backyard. Yours may be. That's between you and your dog. I'm just telling you, mine lives out in the backyard. You know what my dog likes more than anything else? Scraps from the table. You say you ought not to feed him that. Well, tell my dog. He likes them. So I give him the scraps from the table. Even the dogs like the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, I know I'm a dog to everybody else. I know I don't deserve even to be here, but I'm willing to go down anywhere I need to in order to get the problem of my child taken care of. Lord, I'm willing to give this up. Lord, I'm willing to get right in this area of my life. Lord, I'm willing. It doesn't matter what they think about me. I'm interceding for my child. And Lord, what I need is for you to touch my little girl. And Fred, if you've got a problem, you want to get it solved, you better quit making excuses. Just come to God and say, God, whatever part of my life you want, I need you, Lord. Here it is. I'd rather have the crumbs from the Lord's table than the luxuries of the devil's table. The choir sings, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Now, that may not matter much to us here. Miss Margaret, she's over there in glory this morning. She left this old world Friday afternoon. Brother Curtis, great preacher, man of God, he's over there in glory. He left us Wednesday afternoon. If we could bring them back today and say, Miss Margaret, Brother Curtis, was it worth serving Jesus? Was it worth sacrificing to Jesus? Was it worth submitting to Jesus? And Miss Margaret would say, oh yes, it was worth everything I ever did for it. Brother Curtis, was it worth preaching the gospel day after day and month after month and year after year when they listened to you and when they didn't listen to you? Was it worth it? And Brother Curtis would say, hallelujah, yes, it was worth it. Every time I shared the gospel, you give your best to the Lord Jesus Christ. Just give me the crumbs. Crumbs from the master's table. There's a third thing, and I'll close with this. There's a miracle. When she was willing to put herself wherever was necessary in order to get the crumbs from the table, look at verse 28. Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thy will. And her daughter was made whole that very hour. Jesus responds to faith. He don't respond to feelings. He don't respond to finances. He responds to faith. He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It's a faith issue. When we trust Him and commit our all to Him, Pharaoh, we're on Wednesday night studying the life of Moses. We're going to get into those compromises that Pharaoh wanted them to make. But Moses and the children of Israel said there's no compromise. God's saying you can't compromise. It's got to be a faith issue. Real faith is getting hold of the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word and not letting Him go till He blesses us. Wrestling with God. You say, preacher, what if I've been praying for a while and it hadn't happened? The Bible said she kept on crying. Just keep on praying. You said, I've been praying 5 years. Hadn't happened. Keep on praying. The man in Florida for 26 years prayed for his daddy. He wouldn't get saved. But on Thanksgiving Day, 26 years later, every day praying for his daddy, Billy Graham came on the television and gave an invitation. And his daddy started crying. And right there beside the boy that had been praying for 26 years, God saved his daddy after 26 years of praying. I heard about a brother for 66 years prayed for his brother. 66 years he prayed for him. But brother, in the 66th year, God reached down and saved his soul. Just keep on praying and believe in God. We quit too quick. We give up too soon. Just keep on praying. The promise, the performance. Her daughter's made. You say, preacher, I don't know where my child is today. God does. I don't know where my husband's at today or my wife. God does. Some children are saying, I don't know where my parents are. God does. No distance with God. The prodigal son's out there in the far country. And by the way, you don't want to miss next Sunday night. I can't tell you everything. You don't want to miss. You ought not want to miss any Sunday night, but especially next Sunday night. I'm going to preach about when God leaves His lights on. Distance makes no difference with God. I believe she's singing a song we used to sing in our church. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him. How I've proved Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust Him more. She said, I'm going to put my whole eternity on what Jesus promised and is able to perform. Why put your trust in somebody who can't perform it? Jesus is the only one. He's still doing it today, right here in this congregation. Don't give up on your boys and girls. Man, if you have to, every service we have, wet these altars with your tears. Open your Bible. Throw it on the altar. Put your finger on the promise and claim it in the name of Jesus for your boys and girls. Now, I'll tell you what, I didn't know what I was going to preach this morning. You say, you don't know? No, sometimes I don't. It scares me to death sometimes when I don't know. You don't understand unless you're a preacher. It's been Saturday night. Late. Sometimes it didn't come together. That'll scare the fire out of you, I promise you. God knew. I talked with that couple and told them everything I could tell them. Just so happened God put me in contact with two people in two different states. I talked with that family and told them all that I knew, which is not a whole lot, but I told them everything that I knew. God put me in touch with somebody. You know who that somebody is, way up there in Salem, Massachusetts. And I got on the phone. Sometimes we don't know it all. By the way, if you think you know it all, you don't know as much as you think you do. That's why we need to rally support. That's why we need prayer warriors. That's why, can I tell you something? You know the greatest churches God's ever blessed is the churches that had great prayer ministries and some of them were praying while the preacher was preaching. It's not just the music. It's not just the preaching. It's the power of prayer. And brother, if this congregation ever came here one Sunday morning and everybody prayed, we might be camping out here all day long for the glory of God. Hey, listen to me. I was talking to them. I called him. He told me everything he knew. But he knew somebody in another state that I called who just happened not only to be in the state where this boy is going to school, but be on the campus where the school is, and he just happened to be a counselor, a spiritual counselor, and he called me on the phone, and he said, we've already started it working on this end. I'm telling you what I'm preaching about, I experienced this week. He's not only a God in Matthew chapter 15, He's a God in Easley, South Carolina in 2005, if we'll trust Him and believe Him. I got to quit. Now, I normally don't get this upset. I normally get more. So if you're visiting, I just want you to know that. All through this Bible, some great, great people who we preach about, Abraham, Isaac, David, and Samson, and Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, and a multitude of others, sometimes along the way had children that went astray. Can I say again, you listening to me? If somebody in this congregation has a child that goes astray or does wrong, the last thing they need is your old long pointed finger in their face. They need an arm around their shoulder and somebody who can zip their lip. Are you listening to me? If you can't keep your mouth shut, say, don't tell me anything, I got a big mouth. Amen? That's pretty plain. Sometimes they just need somebody to get on the floor and pray with them. Somebody to cry with them. They just need somebody to help them. And God help us to preach it straight and to preach it strong. But God help us to be a church that's willing not only to reach up, but to get down where they are and to help them in the name of Jesus Christ. And brother, when that guy gave me his advice, and when he called his buddy, and that guy called me, I had a spell on the inside of my heart. Because I know my God is still alive and well. And what He's done for others, He can and will do for you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're in this building. You're in this building, young person. You say, man, I'm tired of this old life. I'm tired of living this way. I need Jesus. Could I tell you, boys and girls, it doesn't matter what you've done. There may be consequences down the road. I must be honest with you. But listen, there's room at the cross for you. His blood is sufficient to take away any sin you have. If you'll come like this woman in faith and say, Lord, have mercy on me. You see, you can't confess anybody else's sins. You've got to confess your sin. If you're here today and you've never been saved, would you pray a prayer like this? Oh, Lord Jesus, I need you in my heart and life. Lord, I want to be saved. I need to be saved. Lord Jesus, come in today and cleanse me. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the dead. And I'm not coming, Lord, based upon me. I'm coming with nothing in my hand. I just ask Jesus to save me. Would you pray that and mean it? Something similar to that. You've been saved but never made it public. Would you leave where you're sitting today, walk down this aisle and say, I've been saved and I'm not ashamed of it. You need to do what John did a few moments ago when he was baptized. God leading some of you to join this church by letter, by statement. Many of you need to come get on the altar. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, school teachers and Bible fellowship teachers. Need to get on this altar and call names out. Some of you children need to get on the altar and pray for mom and daddy by name. And folks, we need to come believing that the same God that did this for this woman can do it for you and me. Lord Jesus, we're trusting you. May you bring conviction. Lord, some people are going to sit in the pew and God's Holy Spirit's going to tell them they need to come. They're going to put it off. I pray today they say no to the devil and yes to Jesus. Get them up. Get them down these aisles. Give us some moms and dads like this woman who won't give up. Lord, some of them need to come to get saved themselves. Some need to come and get right themselves. Lord, speak right now. In Jesus' name. Would you stand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one's looking around. Would you stand? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our choir's going to sing an invitational hymn. I'll be at the front. Counselors are here. God spoke to your heart. You don't have to wait for the second or third verse. You come on that first verse this morning. God's waiting for you. Let's do business with God. Would you do it?